He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. I am Elon Musk. This is Car Keys.
Well, Elon, how are you? It's good to have you in the studio.
Oh, I understand. It's just like this press I'm getting is just...
Jay spent the weekend at Lime Rock and had a great time. And here is Jay to give us a few words about the events that went on over the weekend of this last weekend.
It was a great weekend at Lime Rock. I think their numbers were really good. I was there as a vendor. I had a good weekend.
Were you there with your simulator?
I was there with the simulator on the vendor midway. But you know that when the food vendors run out of food in the middle of the afternoon...
You're doing well. There was some rogue, I think someone heading for Lime Rock this morning that thought that maybe just the entire road was his. There is something that happens during Lime Rock week where I think people are inspired to...
It's testosterone, and they're infused with lots of energy because they have been watching racing or they're going to watch racing, and they're feeling like they would like to be one of the pack, either going to or leading the track.
They are energized.
That's a good word.
Well, it's interesting because in the simulator we have a lot of... virtual cars that are GT cars, and this weekend at Lime Rock was the an IMSA weekend. IMSA is the primary
sponsor,
sanctioning body for endurance racing in this country, and their classes are basically, except for the prototypes, are basic, and even so, are mimic the world. The FIA, which is the world sanctioning body for all auto racing, they mirror their classes. So you have GTE cars, which are like Corvettes, the new Ford GT. They're purposely built race cars, sports cars.
Lamborghini Countach?
Countach, they don't make them. That was the 70s, Robin.
What are they making right now?
I saw something that looked very Camaro-esque. Is what I saw.
They have two series. They have their prime series is the WeatherTech Championship, which is the primary event. Longer races. I think it's 2 hours and 45 minutes, and it ran Saturday afternoon. And then they have a race with slightly slower cars, with what they call now GT4s and touring cars. So that's a class of races where you will see in the front of the pack, the faster class will have like Porsche Caymans, will have McLarens, Mercedes, AMG GTs. But in the back, you'll see Minis, Volkswagen Golfs, Audi S3s. And I'm trying to think
BMW,
of. I didn't see a lot of the racing. I was busy, so I didn't see a lot of it. But
and are these just regular? And what is a touring car technically? It used to.
Well, it's a production-based sedan or coupe, and the rules are written such that a lot of cars can compete, and you can find. For instance, Mazda MX-5s being competitive with Porsche Caymans because they tweak the rules a little bit to make the Mazda as fast as a Porsche, for instance.
So you can but these cars are all modified?
Yeah, they're none of them are street legal. Obviously, they're tuned. The engine is prepped. There's a lot of
bar cages and
a lot of safety features. Slick tires unless it's raining. Stiffer suspensions,
loud exhaust. The reason I'm saying this is having a little bit of experience in a similar field. And you and I discussed this once when you were on the road. It's amazing how many people, if you don't have a specific interest in that, you have no idea except for what you're seeing on TV, which
Correct.
Is a bunch of cars going around. And honestly, you can't start with the I'm seeing a bunch of cars going round and round and grasp the –
what's really going on?
Yeah.
Well, what racetracks have been doing, sanctioning bodies have been doing, at least in the road course racing world, is opening in the last 20 years is opening the paddock to the public. So now, when you buy a ticket to go see a race, unlike
In
the past, you can go right down into the paddock. You can see the cars up close in the paddock. You can meet and greet drivers. You run into everybody who's involved in the sport. And there is a closeness to the action, not only the action on track, but the action
where you start making connections.
Where you start making connections. And it's fun. It really is a lot of fun. And I've seen it's interesting to see the people who come to these races, like the demographics. Now that I've done a few events as a vendor at Lime Rock, the events may be different in nature. For instance, the next big public event will be the vintage event in Labor Day weekend. It is a totally different event. Yet part of there is a crossover. Some of the people who come to the IMSA race will come to the vintage race. Yes.
Yeah.
Now there are people who come to vintage and only vintage because they are in a stratospheric
of their own
world.
It's a different layer.
It's a different layer. Yes.
But to jump in a little bit because I'm begging to talk is that I was in Westchester County coming home from a weekend late Saturday afternoon, early evening, and I was wending my way through local roads. Between Fairfield and whatever county it is that you go into. I think it may not be Westchester, or is it Westchester, to the Golden's Bridge area of 684, which is where I wanted to get on.
It's Upper Westchester
and Putnam. And Putnam, right, okay. And so I realized that there had been a big event at Lime Rock because of the oncoming traffic coming home, and there were Corvettes, a string of Corvettes. There were some Lamborghini Huracans. These were driven probably to the race by people who probably not raced, wending their way back to their respective homes. And as we know, on the local back road into the track, White Hollow Road, it can be a little bit challenging to have road pavement available if you're an oncoming car when these cars are coming back, because they're all revved up, as we talked at the beginning of the show. And they're in lower gear, so they're making their usual exhaust noises, and they're having a good old time following each other around these roads. And there's not a lot of traffic on these roads except Saturday, except for this particular Saturday afternoon, because I was about one of about three going north, and then you hit these packs of cars, presumably coming from Lime Rock.
Is there any place?
A fair bit.
Yeah.
A fair bit.
Because a long time ago, I ran into a tenant in the elevator when I lived in Lower Manhattan, and he was totally excited because he was going to Lime Rock for the weekend. I was like,
"Well, that's what
great.
It's all about."
I understand. I had no idea. I mean, I lived on Cedar Street in Manhattan. I had no idea that. And of course,
such an enthusiasm group.
Motorsports, as it relates to the auto industry, is maybe and arguably a sport or an activity that is in jeopardy when you look at the bigger picture. NASCAR is having huge
attendance issues. Yeah.
And they need to straighten out, and they need to reconsider how they're looking at the future. But sports car racing, which has only is a very very
it's more exciting.
Small.
It's a
sliver in the automotive.
Yeah.
But I think it's more
bigger
exciting
picture.
Than oval car racing.
But it's great because people who go there look at cars that they can absolutely directly relate to. I mean, these cars look like
the cars
on the road. You know, you look at a NASCAR, a Cup car now. It's a purposely built race car. When they call it a Fusion or a Toyota Camry,
it's a shell over a racing chassis, which has nothing to do with what the car's on the road.
It's a fiberglass body over a tube frame car. The tube frame car is designed to be a race car, and the body is made to look like
a regular car,
and it's just not the same thing. Yeah. Even though the numbers are still obviously totally different. I mean, and we get back to. We won't discuss, you know, the attendance at a race like at Lime Rock this weekend versus a big NASCAR race. I don't know how many spectators there were at Lime Rock. I would guess there were more than there have been in a long time, but it's just a wild guess. And And I'll throw a number out there, and I could be totally off, but I would 5, guess I was going to say 10, but compared to a NASCAR race or a big a football event or any big event, sports event, where you get 100,000 to 150,000 people, it's still minuscule. But
for Limerick's sake and our sake, 10,000 basically a packed house in many many
relatively
levels.
Speaking,
it's small. It's a small acreage facility, obviously limited spacing for car parking, infield, outfield. And so 10,000 is, if it was really close to 10,000, Jay is right. It was a great weekend for Lime Rock, and I applaud that for Lime Rock's sake. And the weather was basically perfect.
Perfect.
And that goes a long way for people day tripping in to a race, because if it's raining down the middle of Long Island or storming and they haven't checked the weather out, they may not get in their car to go to Lime Rock because they think the same thing's going to happen up there. And there's nothing more miserable than sitting out in a chair on the lawn trying to watch a race with a thunderstorm occurring.
It's just not the same thing.
No, it's not the same thing.
By any stretch. And people do become, let's just say, committed to whatever the weather's doing out their window. And because and that's not always efficient.
Well, we'll go off topic, but we know that from what we do in the winter in the ski industry. If it's not snowing in New York, people are not coming up to ski up here.
Especially if the ground is bare right outside their house window or apartment window, and they don't think there's any snow from there to the lift.
Do you know, that used to be why you went places?
Exactly.
All right, what else?
So, actually, just some auto news industry for anybody who cares anything about people who run some of the automobile companies. Fiat Chrysler's Eugene Marchionne has been relieved of his duties at Chrysler Fiat because of ill health, and we wish him well, but he's not really going to run the company anymore. So there's been a lot of scampering within the company, getting people to fill various positions that either were being foreplanned for this event or just to make sure that the company goes along as if Mr. Marchionne was still around near the helm, if not at the helm. So that's just a little bit of tidbit news, which is many people may already know.
But it's apropos because I think that...
Well, there were three guys in the run to take over Marchione's spot. And Sergio Marchionne had announced earlier this year that he would be retiring regardless in 2019. But he had not yet appointed or indicated who his successor might be. And this week when we thought Marchionne would probably not come back, he's recovering from complicated surgery or complications from a surgery. Three names came up. One of them is Mike Manley. He was the guy who's put the Jeep brand back on track in this country and has managed to actually
prove it abroad.
Send sales through the roof abroad and in Europe, in Asia. I mean, the Jeep brand is alive and doing very well. The two other guys were a guy who's run the Fiat marketing division and has done a lot for the brand more in Europe. And the third guy was a bean counter who actually did a lot to put the Fiat group back into contention and get rid of their debt. But in the end, this guy Manley got the job, and it's probably a very good thing for FCA. Even though I remain skeptical about the company.
3 weeks ago,
whole.
If you had tuned in here, you were skeptical. You remain skeptical. Skepticism.
Well, we all are skeptical about.
There's perfectly. You know, these are valid. They're coherent reasons to be skeptical. They're not just like, oh, I feel skeptical today.
No. When we talk about FCA, FCA is having a great year. They've come a very long way. Jeep is on the rise. But Robin and I talked about this coming over. They have no cars. The Fiat brand is going down the tubes. And that's mostly a European brand, but even in Europe, it's not doing well. It's not doing well.
Now, the question is whether, and I will go back again, decades, lots of them, just to say that I remember on a trip to France, an art dealer, and I've mentioned this before, he was so proud of his Grand Cherokee. The streets weren't even the Jeep. Like he waited till he could get a Jeep. He somehow by hook
in
or
France.
By, yes, in Paris, and you know he kept parking it in the oddest places. Let's just say, but he was sort of.
Here's my concern: is the Jeep Grand Cherokee is really what's pulling the Jeep brand, and it's a great vehicle. But for those of us who know, the current Jeep Grand Cherokee is based on a Mercedes platform that dates back to the mid-2000s. It's an
ML
chassis.
But it's still holding its own for Jeep, for sure.
Yes.
But even though Mercedes platforms have evolved and gone right. on, and Chrysler doesn't have the right to use
the question is,
platform.
What will the next Jeep Grand Cherokee platform be?
Be, yeah.
And it's not going to come from Fiat.
But they're going to have to keep the engineering right up there because...
But can it not be... I'm sorry, this is my ignorance, but you guys are both here. Can it not stay that?
It can up to a point.
It can be one of two things. Can it not be a Mercedes platform? No, it's not going to be a Mercedes platform because it was a Mercedes platform just like their Dodge Chargers were Mercedes platforms, the Chrysler 300, because at the time... Daimler Chrysler owned
FCA.
Chrysler.
Right. Daimler, it was Daimler Chrysler and
exactly.
Daimler. Okay.
So that was why we had Mercedes platforms. And now that Fiat owns, well, they merged, but it was a takeover of Chrysler by Fiat. And we saw a lot of the smaller Jeep platforms are based on Fiat architecture.
Oh, Fiat platform. Renegade, for example, is the primary one. Based on the same platform that the Fiat 500 is built on, because in the beginning there was a Renegade and the counterpart in Fiat was the Fiat four-door 500 all-wheel drive variant of the two-door Fiat. And they were both, they also used the same engines, they were using the same transmissions, they were using the same platform. Now that platform actually, in the Jeep version for sure, that Renegade is a surprisingly good, comfortable vehicle, and is selling well, I would say, to the demographic that likes that kind of vehicle. The Jeep Cherokee, which I own, is a junior Cherokee version of the Grand Cherokee, but does not come anywhere near to having the same platform underneath it. It is, in my opinion, a fabulous version of a Jeep, and it's selling very well, including the newest variant, which I think could be the only engine that they would need to put in it, which is a Turbo 4, which I have experienced or am experiencing and have said some pretty high rated things about that engine. But, you know, you can only ride so long on an existing platform that you start out with and then becomes over 5 years old. And if you can't update that to the standards that you're competing against with the competition.
Sure.
There are a certain number of people who will never know the difference and they'll continue to buy Jeeps forever, but there are other people
who will figure out
that there's significant performance characteristics differentiation between the competition and an aging platform such as what Jay's alluding to,
and
the Jeep Grand Cherokee platform.
Once again, excuse my ignorance, but what is the platform of the regular Cherokee? Is that
it's still a Mercedes from years ago.
Don't know the Cherokee, not the Grand Cherokee.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, the Grand Cherokee.
No, the Cherokee.
It's a variant, I believe, of a Fiat platform.
I believe so too.
It's front wheel drive, which is the Fiat platform. Renegade and all-wheel drive with all the computer technology that can be built into these things instantaneously when needed. But I think it's basically a variant of a Fiat platform as opposed to a unique platform to the Cherokee. But I don't really know the answer to that.
Just to be clear, you're talking about regular Cherokee, not the Renegade. You're talking about the Cherokee, right?
The Cherokee is not a junior size.
Right. Of the Grand Cherokee.
And it's not really a cousin to the Grand Cherokee, except in name only.
But it's not necessarily a Mercedes platform. It's a very good vehicle
for its size. As a matter of fact, I've been wanting to say this for a few shows. I was parked next to an Audi Q5 recently, and I want to tell you, and my Cherokee was right next door to it,
parked next to it.
And I started comparing the body design of both of them together. And I actually came away thinking that the Cherokee body was superior in style and functional performance to the Q5 Audi. Now, the sizes are not directly inch by inch similar, but that's about the same size vehicle for both. And that's just a comment for those who know about Q5s and those who know about Cherokees.
Right, which I don't know about either, but I do know that is...
We should move on then.
There's an Audi. No, there's one quick question. There's an Audi that looked odd to me. Would that be the Q5? Is it an odd-looking Q3?
The middle one.
It looks like a cross between something and something that might not have necessarily turned out.
The Q3, probably.
Now, I've driven a couple, and they actually drive really, really well. Yeah. Not a whole lot of power. Smaller, very narrow back seat, but some of us never carry passengers.
And the comment about not a lot of power is very relevant in these in this engine downsizing situation, which can really be only countermanded by turbocharging or supercharging, I think, and to a slighter degree, maybe the transmission ratios and whether or not you've got 6 speeds or 9 speeds and 9 variants to get these small engine powered vehicles up to cruising speed with some ability to pass if you need to. But turbocharging goes a long way to resolving that problem or solving that problem when you've got a non-turbo 4, as I do in one Cherokee, and the new turbo 4 in the other Cherokee. There's just it's a world of difference. The accelerative performance is wonderful, certainly for getting on ramp on an interstate, and passing is much easier and safer, and you feel more comfortable. Plus, the mileage is better with the turbocharged engine.
That's it.
Yes, Jay.
Yes, Jay.
I thought we were done talking about the Jeeps.
No.
Anyways,
well, we are. Q3 is the same engine as the Q5, actually.
So I'll go to electric cars. Can it be turbocharged or not?
It's always turbocharged.
Okay, thank you.
So I don't know what that question was about, but electric car growth is discussed in one article, and it's slowing in Europe, and the reasons befuddle me, but electric cars are showing up more and more in this corner, or hybrids, I should say.
Plug-ins.
Pure electric sales are growing. Yeah. Well, plug-ins or hybrids. I've seen a lot of fusion hybrids lately, which are not plug-ins. It just goes to show that people are realizing that hybrids are really the way to go for a distance capability as opposed to...
No, I disagree.
I know.
I think it's either you buy a gasoline engine car. It could be a hybrid. I do agree, actually. But I think we're going to see more and more electric cars, and it's going to go in waves, and we're going to have slowdowns when incentives or tax incentives
they're coming to an end.
When they come to an end, we'll have a slowdown for a while,
and then they'll reimpose. They will recreate the
incentives.
We'll
pick up again.
No, I don't know. They'll recreate
the
charging network. Just get used to not having to pay the difference and not getting a tax version.
Okay.
It's all about the charging network, and it will become better.
It will get better
in the next decade, and life is going to be beautiful with
electric cars.
And
the charging network is one of the reasons given why sales are slow in Europe, because there's an inadequate charging network so far across
the
European countries.
Let me just close the loop by coming back to racing and to say that racing with electric cars is just not racing. There is just
totally because of no noise.
They sound like slot cars. It's ridiculous.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.